Previously on Adventure.
The last magical item we need is in Blackthorn Castle in Blackthorn Village.
So you turn to the left and you see quickly in front of you a very, very tall tower. You can see winding stairs going up. And you hear a giant crack of stone. The staircase starts to give. And the first boulder falls.
Can we scrabble and over the boulders?
You gotta make athletics checks.
20!
Whoa!
Woo! Oh yeah, bitches, we made it! Woo!
And when you get to the top, you see this ogre.
Thunderwave.
You cast this wave of force that flies at this ogre as he just turns around to look at you. It strikes him directly in the belly. He gets flung back and slams against the side of the partition that separates the precipice from this landing, and he falls to his death. And
woo-hoo! Oh yeah, we kicked butt on that one.
And I'm going to give you each a point of inspiration for that, which means you can keep that in your bank and then use it once to get advantage on any roll.
Yeah.
So you're at the top of this landing. You can see out across the entirety of Blackthorn Village. You can even see now the woods that lie right beyond Blackthorn to its east, and a swamp to its west, and directly in the middle, which looks like it's leading out of the clock tower area, which you can't quite see. It's sort of obscured in that fog. You see a path leading straight out of that, though, to another giant gate. And then beyond that gate, far to its north, is the castle of Blackthorn.
All right.
Okay.
And then you're on this landing. It's you on this landing now, three of you. Well, tiny Julian.
Right, right.
Henley,
two and a half of us.
And there is a closed door leading into the tower.
All right. Well, first of all, I'm going to be running upstairs.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you weren't there.
Yeah. No, I didn't even see all this. Jackie saw this.
You did see the ogre fall past you.
All right, so I go running up. I'm like, Julian, whatever you did, I know it wasn't Henley, but nice
one. It's like Vertigo.
Phew.
The inspiration you gave us.
Yes.
Is if we use it and we die, do we get it back?
No.
Okay.
The inspiration is a discretionary point that I can give to be like, oh, I really liked what you did. Like,
sure.
Like that.
But if we use it and we wind up dying, it doesn't come back.
No.
No. All right.
Okay. No.
All right. So, should we all just put our ears to the door and see if we can hear what's on the other side?
My first thought was going to be open it, but that's smarter.
I'm not normally smart, but I think we've opened enough doors and gates in this godforsaken town and had something horrible happen to us that maybe we need to, like, just let's give it a little listen before we just bust on through.
All right, so you want to roll investigation checks. Mm-hmm. Investigation checks. You're all putting your ears to the door, like a very cartoonish.
And no, hang on, but the best thing is it's me and Henley putting our ears to the door, and then Mini Julian right down on the floor.
Four.
So, okay.
My
Nine.
Ear is so small.
Literally, you can't
hear
anything.
Nine.
13 total for me.
With your ears against the door, Julian and Thresh, you can't hear anything. Henley, you can't really hear anything either. You think you can maybe hear some slight rustling, but other than that, you can't.
Okay.
The door is flush to the ground. There's no.
Julian can't lie on.
You have to investigate it.
All right, Julian, can you lie on your belly?
Well, you just investigated it. I'll. So, the door is. It's a big wrought iron door with a giant heavy handle, and it goes nearly all the way to the floor. It goes to about an inch of space between the floor and the
mini
door.
Julian.
Well, he's like 3 inches tall.
Yeah.
Right, but tall.
Exactly.
Not thick.
Falling, not prone.
You got Indiana Jones your way.
Yeah, Julian, lie on
belly
the floor.
Crawl.
Julian, roll underneath that door.
Absolutely.
All right. Have a look around.
Little Julian rolls
under the door.
And then reaches back and grabs his wizard hat.
Rolls his hat.
Which has fallen off in the process.
Somebody please do a fan art gif of that. Oh my God, be amazing.
Little hand reaches back out through the door.
So you roll underneath, and you are in a giant, what looks like to you, throne room. Julian, the tower goes up above you for hundreds of feet, but there is no other floors. There is just, it is a giant cathedral ceiling, There is suits of armor glistening, lining the sides of this thing with giant great axes and swords of all different makes and types with jewels in them, and some are the metal is like this magic looking green, and some are red, and some are look like they're plain steel or something, maybe more than steel. There's lush carpeting all over the ground. There is a giant chandelier lit with flame hanging from the ceiling, and it's probably about 60 feet above you, hanging there. All of this leads up to a giant throne, which is probably the throne tall is probably 26 feet tall. It's huge and wide, and sitting atop it is another ogre. This one, much like his compatriot outside, but dressed in lush robes, and he wears a giant crown atop his head, and on his eye is a monocle.
That's the item.
There it is. All right.
So he hasn't noticed you're here, by the way. He hasn't noticed you're here because you're a little man standing there.
And Julian has to like roll back under and tell us all this, right?
Yeah. friends.
Yes.
I think we've reached the home of the king of the ogres, and
oh,
I would hate to think that the fellow we just pushed off the edge is a relation.
Is he bigger?
It's 26 feet. Bigger by two times than the other.
What are we going to do?
The size of the throne.
The throne is 26 feet. He's the same size as the other
okay.
one.
I'm sorry.
But yeah. The throne is just giant, even around him. Like he's like slung like.
Gotcha. Okay. Right. So it's just a regular ogre.
Does he have one leg up?
Yeah. Like leg slung over the arm.
He's ogre spreading?
Yeah,
he's
ogre
spreading. He also has on a robe, but not much else.
Yeah.
That ogre spreading is very offensive. Yeah.
And I would say, Julian, his eyes are fixed on the door.
So he's like. Is he waiting for us to come in?
I think he's waiting for anyone to come in. But he also has what seems like the last item.
Oh,
big monocle. How should we approach this?
Now, can't Henley make himself invisible?
I can. But I'm thinking from a...
But I think if the ogre sees the door open, then it's shining.
He may
get it.
Right, we have to make me invisible again. Yeah.
You could be invisible. You could do it.
No, I meant shrink again to... Go under and...
No, whatever. Just open the door, invisible. He'd be like, huh?
You would need a distraction. Yeah. You need someone else to walk in visible.
A diversion.
Worst Lord of the Rings.
Worst line of the movie. Or the trilogy. Yeah. My thought was if Julian went back in and was able to sneak his way to the throne...
Right.
And...
Give him a hot foot.
Well, I would say freeze all of his body except his head... And then we just take the monocle.
This might work.
I don't think it's going to. But and also we've come.
I think Mini Julian.
He's the king of the ogres.
I can't say this enough. We've come so far. I really don't want to go back.
No, I think Mini Julian has a chance of doing this. But if only Mini Julian wasn't Mini Julian, and we could have made the ogre Mini Ogre. It's too late now, though.
But yeah, but then when we have Mini Monocle, we don't want Mini Monocle.
Maybe monocle would have stayed the same size. It would
Bobby
just been
probably
a mini
would have done
ogre
that for us, yeah.
Looking through a massive monocle. Exactly.
Can we enfeeble him?
I think I like.
I don't know what that word means.
Make him weaker.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you?
I have a spell for that, but I don't know if it's going to matter. That's only if he hits us.
I like the freezing idea.
Yes, but I mean, how much can we ask of Julian at this point? I mean, like he's already mini. So you have to go in.
I will tell you, if he gets noticed and hit, he's dead.
Sure.
Yes. At all, right.
At all. He's dead.
Sure.
So he has to be very sneaky. Or actually, how far away
this might sound equally stupid, right?
Okay.
Julian is already mini. Mm-hmm. And he was able to get in there without... being seen, just to survey,
yeah, right?
Right
now, yeah.
So if Julian comes back out, makes me, shrinks me, right?
But he can't, right?
Yeah, he can.
I think he's going to do it once.
No, he can. He can do it twice, but he can't, if he shrinks you, he can't
put us both back
until he dies.
Right. Or we get a rest.
You get your rest. You're arrested in another fire.
What was your idea? Finish your idea in case it's worth it.
My idea was to have Julian shrink me. I make myself invisible.
Right.
And little.
But then I have to go normal size. And then I'm half the ogre's size. I have to,
but
like,
can't you climb up the chair, up the throne?
Maybe I could, but that's a lot of stuff to do. My thought was if I invisibly rip the monocle off
right,
of his eye,
exactly.
He can't find me.
Exactly. And also, you just got to climb up the throne. I think this is a great idea.
All right, listen, we're probably going to die.
But if we die, we die, and we'll get back to this exact point again.
All right. So
here's the thing. I'm already little. I could make myself invisible.
No, but he has a stealth. He has such a better stealth modifier.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, but your stealth modifier is not going to matter much if you're invisible. Like, I mean.
Well, I think it has to because he might hear
invisible.
You climbing up the throne and stuff.
Sure.
You still got to be super stealthy about it, and you're the best one to do super stealthy, I think.
So we're going.
I'm loving this idea.
So we're going to do this. Julian he's talking to us right now as.
He's going to shrink you down.
He's going to shrink me down. I'm going to make myself invisible. I'm going to go under there. I'm going to try and climb.
He's climbing 13, up the throne.
You have any idea how high 13 feet is
right.
when you're 3 inches tall?
So we'll see
I'll
it.
Give you
we'll
a hint.
We'll see in a few days. I'll be outside chilling.
It's 52 times my height.
Okay. So it's not that bad. It's like 25 stories or something. It's not too bad.
Okay. Julian, make... Oh, sorry. All
right,
Julian.
Well, you guys have no idea what's going on right now because Julian is still inside the throne room.
Oh, yeah,
right.
So Julian, come
no,
out.
No, I thought you just rolled
back. Oh, you rolled back out? Okay,
you rolled
back out. Okay, all right, okay.
No. It's all started because he's like, and he's 26
feet
tall.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
And
then
he's
right.
only 13.
Sorry,
so
sorry,
go ahead,
sorry.
Go ahead and tell us the rest of the deal.
I feel like that was yesterday.
Okay.
So, it's the king of the ogres, apparently, who also has our last item, a monocle.
Uh-huh.
There's tons of armor. There must be other folks around. That could have been his son. We pitched off the edge. Who knows? But we need that monocle.
Well, I definitely don't think him seeing us is going to help.
I mean, I don't have any regrets. I mean, nepotism's very bad.
Oh, look, if he's got, like, armor around, he's obviously a tough dude. I don't want to go in there if, like, we've killed his kid or something.
I can't believe I'm being this self-aware about our own mortality or lack thereof. But what I'm thinking is I'm going to go in there, shrunk down and invisible. I'm going to try and grab that monocle. Get out of there before he'll notice that it's gone.
But then he can't see you.
I'll be carrying the fucking monocle.
But he won't be able to see you because he'll
see the monocle
he'll be blind without it.
It's a monocle. He has another eye.
But he may have bad eyesight.
Just run fast.
He may have that you're banking my life on he may have bad eyesight.
All of our lives. But he might also be very shocked.
Do we have another plan?
I'd be shocked if someone, like, something
how
invisible...
How far away? Can you
from the door to the...
Yeah. But, Julian, how far from the door to the throne?
200 feet.
200 feet.
Oh, fuck me.
No, it's too far to be shrunken.
No, I was going to frisbee the monocle under the door.
800 feet worth of, of Captain
feet?
America's
oh.
shield at your size.
I'm not sure this... Oh, well, no. Oh, what does my rabbit do? It's an odd question.
It blows it. You can make it blow up.
Diversion. Diversionary rabbit. We could send the rabbit. We could open the door a crack.
We don't know that we can open the door.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that idea works great. Now, how do you unshrink, though? Because you're both dead if he sees us.
You can't unshrink until they rest again. They're stuck small.
If he makes me small.
If he makes you small.
Yeah, if he makes you small.
But he can unshrink himself.
Yes.
Correct.
Right. Yes.
Correct.
How about I enlarge myself when we open the door?
How about we just open the door and send my rabbit in? We can just have him run up to the throne and explode. It'll give us an advantage.
He's such a cute bunny. Yes.
But he'll come back. It's fine. But we will get that element of surprise.
I love that this is what Jackie wrote the name of the rabbit, but nothing that it does down on this piece of paper.
Okay. Because honestly, I just wanted it as a pet.
Fine, we're wasting so much time. Let's just open the door if it opens, which you don't know.
Right, I'm going to try the hat. Right, while these two are talking about shrinking and being invisible and sneaky, sneaky, Thrace is opening the door with a rabbit in her hand.
Okay, so you the door, you push against the door and it opens. It starts sliding right. open.
So I open the door and I whisper in Ralph's ear, "Go get him, tiger." And I put him on the floor and little Ralph hops off.
What's your next move, genius?
Well, exactly. This is the thing. Thrace doesn't have a next move. Thrace is just waiting. No, what we're going to do is this rabbit is going to explode.
All right. The door's already open. He's already noticed it. I have to do this very quickly. Julian, I'll need you to, as soon as I start talking, just start running around behind the ogre bloke, all right?
And
I grab Ruff. Ruff the rabbit?
Ralph.
Ralph the rabbit?
Ralph. Ralph.
So an F in is on the cards.
Yeah,
alone.
Ralph.
It's a weird way to spell Ralph. Mr. Ogre, sir.
This is you walking in.
Following I have rabbit. Come bearing gift of rabbit. It is a rabbit for you, the Ogre King. I will present it to you now as a sacrifice of my fealty.
Why are you speaking such weird English? I speak fine English.
Oh, that's good to know. I wasn't sure.
Were you the people making so much noise out there?
No.
Listen. We're traveling with a dragonborn, and you can see, and they're not they're not very good at directions. And I was just trying to explain that we were going the right way, and she was saying we were going the wrong way. And also, we gotta get this rabbit here for you, Ogre.
You're doing fine.
Also, we gotta get this rabbit here for the Ogre King.
Hey, where's Frank?
Frank's on his way.
He said he had to pop out and get something, a new club, because his club only had one nail through it and he needed two.
I told him about a really good hardware store. Where they sell nails that are large enough to go in clubs like
very
that.
Very large nails.
Also,
very.
Extremely reasonable pricing.
Yes, very good. Very good. And he seemed very pleased with this idea.
At this point, little Julian is only moved about 3 feet because he is so small. He's just past his
foot.
But he's
running and running and running and running.
You're running around right now, small? Yeah.
My name is Julian. What's yours?
I ain't telling you my name.
Well, Frank told us his name. I thought maybe it would be nice to...
Should we just call you sir?
Or my lord.
Or your majesty.
You can call me your majesty. I like that one the best.
All right,
your majesty.
Hello, your majesty.
How you doing, your majesty?
What am I supposed to do with this bunny? What's an ogre supposed to do with a bunny, huh?
I thought you might be hungry.
Yeah, it's for you to eat. Eat the rabbit. It's yum, yum, yum.
Your majesty. Have you never had rabbit?
Of course I've had a rabbit. What do you think I am?
So this one is an extra special rabbit. It tastes like steak.
This rabbit's been aged.
Yeah.
Several years.
It tastes like steak. Try it.
And by that, I mean it's just been alive for a couple of years. I'm going to try an aged rabbit.
Try the rabbit. Now, I'm assuming his wisdom's very low.
His wisdom is very low. So if you want to make a... you guys want to make the deception check.
Well, I'm doing most of the...
Both of you have to do
fuck
it.
Fuck you.
It was my idea for him to eat the rabbit. I so said it first. He's going to eat the rabbit.
No, he didn't.
And then he's going to explode.
I know.
I said eat the rabbit. All right. We both had the same stupid idea at the same time, apparently.
16 for me.
Okay.
What one did you roll? Your one?
Oh, you got another. I rolled a d12.
And you got a 16.
She's got a critical.
20.
Okay.
Should we keep my d12?
Yeah, you keep your d12. Yeah. It's fine.
Eat the rabbit.
Eat the rabbit.
But there's a very key point here, though, Your Majesty.
Yes.
Is it's like a dish in itself. It's very important you eat the rabbit in one go. Put it all in and like an oyster.
I know how to eat a rabbit.
But this is a special.
I understand, Your Majesty, I understand. But there's also another wee problem. The taste of this rabbit is going to give you such delight, you may find yourself screaming with joy. Those screams could shatter glass. So I'm going to recommend that you take off any glassware you might have.
in case you throw your head back in such delight.
Lest you break your, you know.
You gotta roll another deception check.
Yeah, you went way too far. Handling.
Your D12's not gonna do it on that one.
Yes.
16 plus 5, 21.
This could work, people.
All right, good idea.
He takes out the monocle and puts it on the armrest of the throne next to him.
So hopefully Julian
puts it on top of Julian. Is there
I'm picturing the ashes in Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
The tiny ashes.
Yeah. All right. Little imposing skinny man. Unimposing skinny man, you bring the rabbit up here.
Absolutely, Your Majesty. And Ralph has like a Puss in Boots eyes. I'm like, don't do it, don't do it. So I grab the rabbit. Ralph. Now,
Ralph.
Out of game. Do you have to trigger it in some way?
I think so.
He has to die.
Oh, so
as soon as you choose. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, because you can stamp on the rabbit.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
it. Yeah.
So I hand the rabbit to the Ogre King and go, Your Majesty, this is from me, Julian, and her thrice. with all bless.
Enjoy your majesty.
Enjoy your meal.
He takes the rabbit from you. He looks at it.
It was Julian, like, has the monocle?
No, I'm under the monocle.
You're under the monocle.
On the arm.
I will warn you and you that when this thing explodes, it explodes in a 50-foot radius. So
you might want to, I need you to back away bowing. He's safe under the monocle.
No, he's not under the monocle. He's not under the monocle. He's not under the monocle. Is on the.
I'm the Ogre King. That's what just happened.
Yeah. We're gonna like. I'm gonna go to Julian and ask what he's doing. So, in a second. But
I'm gonna literally bow out.
Yeah.
Thank you, Your Majesty. What? What voice is that?
I don't know. Brian.
Thank you, Your Majesty. Enjoy your meal. Enjoy your meal. Goodbye, Ralph. Enjoy your meal. Enjoy your meal.
You back away. So let's cut to meanwhile to Julian. So they've walked in, and now really we're just hearing like their voices like sort of muffled in the background.
Charlie Brown.
And also, how far has Julian got at this point?
I'm gonna ask him. So the whole time you've been walking up. So you've been like running basically.
Right.
Let's say you've run up and you reach the ogre just before he puts the monocle down. You see him put the monocle down on the side of the throne. So this is probably 13 feet in the air, this armrest. Mm-hmm. And you're 3 inches tall, so.
Oh, I thought we were going with me. He puts it on me.
No, that's what you said. That's not what I said.
you guys can
create your own little flights of fancy, but that's not what happened.
At this point, where is he in terms of
He's looking and talking to Henley right now. We're like cutting to back a couple of moments while you were doing it. So Henley is now talking to him, close to him now, walking up to him with the rabbit in his hands. So what do you want to try to get this monocle?
I need to get as close to the edge there as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And then be able to...
Withstand fire might help.
Well, he has to either get the monocle and get away.
Exactly. Right. Or be able to take the blast. Because the blast is probably going to throw that thing right off the throne anyway, which might make it easier to get.
You could also destroy it.
No, it's in the ogre's mouth.
Use the hut. I have a magical shield, though.
You have a magical shield?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe use that, and let's see where the monocle ends up, and you can run for it and go get it from wherever it ends up. If it ends up anywhere.
And the hut was a one-time use?
Yeah,
it's one time.
One time per day, I think, or whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of those like very special items are like one time a day. One time a rest, I think.
So I'm going to come right to the side.
Okay.
Wait for him to sort of begin to digest or put this into his mouth, enlarge myself, put a shield on that thing, and...
And run away.
And shield over it and myself as if I can.
That's a lot of rolls.
No, it's not that many rolls.
No, the shield is one.
The shield is the roll, really the only roll.
If I stand there next to the throne and put my hand on...
What does the shield do, by the way?
The shield is an invisible barrier of magical force that appears and protects you.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, so basically...
I don't want to tell you how to spend your money, Bob. But think about your inspiration if this doesn't go your way.
If something fails. Do you have to roll anything for it, Bob?
No.
Okay, cool. All right, so Henley is now bowing away. And the ogre is looking at the bunny.
Your grace.
And he looks at it. He looks at the bunny's face. And then he turns it so its torso is facing his mouth, and he opens his mouth and takes a giant bite out of the side of the bunny. So what's going to happen? In the moment the bunny perishes, it's going to explode.
Right. No, so as soon as
he takes a giant bite.
The rabbit's not looking well.
No, he's going to die any second. Right. Yeah.
So I enlarge myself.
Okay.
Put the shield on myself, reaching upwards over the edge, grab the monocle, and do this.
Okay. So the moment you enlarge yourself, the ogre goes, what? And then...
By the way, you said, and do this. You're covering your eyes.
Yeah, covering your eyes
like
with your
hand.
Like
a five-year-old watching an R-rated movie.
Yeah. Right. You put the shield up, and a moment later, the bunny passes away and explodes in a 50-foot ring of fire. Jackie, why don't you roll four
D10s
for damage.
Okay.
One. Three is four.
Nine.
Nine is...
14.
13. 13. And five, so
18. So the thing explodes and flings the ogre back and knocks over his giant throne. And it knocks over, Julian, you have kept the thing in your hand, so it's in your hand. The ogre falls back over...
Can I do something straight away after?
Just wait a second. Over the back of the throne.
Yeah.
And how many points of damage was it? Sorry?
18.
He takes 18 points of damage, but he is still... He's alive. And
probably fine.
And furious.
But the very second the explosion goes off, I am also going to run at him with my Warhammer, because I am fireproof.
Okay.
So I can run through the flames
So as he's taking the bite and he's about to die, you're running at him already.
And I'm going
to
jump onto the chair and be like, jump.
Okay.
Down.
All right, okay. So you leap in the air with your boots of spreading and stringing.
Sucker punch, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're going to come down with your Warhammer and your...
Dragon glaive.
Okay, so roll an attack roll. First, d20.
Please don't miss. Nine.
Plus five, I think, is your attack bonus on your Warhammer. That hits.
Okay.
Okay, so now you got to roll...
1d8 plus four.
1d8 plus four, and then I think 1d10 as well, plus four as well.
Right. 1d8. Five plus four is nine.
Nine, okay.
And then a what?
1d10.
D10.
Plus four.
Oof, zero. Four.
That's a 10, Jackie.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's bad.
So 14.
Why did I put one on the front of it then?
Because it's supposed to be combined with these guys
for
when you go to 100.
You get 100, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So 14 on that one. And what was the other one?
18. The original one?
No, the Warhammer.
The one just for that. Five plus four is
nine. Nine. So, 23?
Yeah.
Okay, 23 points of damage. You do 23 points of damage. He's still alive, but he is now like... I love the image of you jumping up when he's laying on his back and just like...
Exactly. Through the flames Through the flames of flames. Ralph the Rabbit.
Yeah.
Flames and rabbit fur.
Hello, listeners. This is Justin Riley, your audio engineer and sound effects person for the podcast. Filling in for Bobby during the middle section here because I wanted to try to get this episode out as soon as I finished it because we've been a little late with episodes here and there. Thanks for sticking around when we had a bit of a hiatus, and congratulations to Bobby and his wife on their new baby. Looks like we're going to be getting back on a pretty regular schedule now. I think Bobby has a lot of stuff edited and ready to go for me, so expect a more regularly scheduled program. Let's see. While I'm here, you can follow us DND Adventure on Twitter, and if you're on social media talking about the show, you can use hashtag DND Adventure. We always love hearing from all the listeners. And you know, of course, Bobby likes naming some characters after people on there, so that's always fun too. And while I'm here, I wanted to mention that Brian and myself are going to be at PAX Unplugged this weekend in Philadelphia. It's the first annual PAX convention that's specifically for board games and role-playing games and basically just everything tabletop. Really looking forward to it. And actually, Brian will have some limited edition adventure t-shirts there with him. So if you're going to the convention and you want to get your hands on one of the shirts or basically just say hi or hang out with us, hit us up on social media. We'll be around for all 3 days. And of course, before I forget, thanks again and thanks as always to Battle Bards and Tabletop Audio for a lot of the ambient tracks that I use and some of the synced sound effects, specifically some of the magic spells and stuff come straight from Battle Bards. I've even started doing some of my own Foley work for the show, which has been pretty fun. Now, let's see, what else should I mention before we get back into the action? We're nearing the end of Bobby's stay as Dungeon Master, so the show will be shifting over to Brian DMing, which should be pretty interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing where all of their adventures go. I guess that is about it, and thanks again for listening, and here's the conclusion of part 9 of The Trials of Blackthorn.
So you also, Jackie, you'd get 2 attacks per turn.
Yeah.
As long
as I can just do exactly the same again.
As long as they're physical attacks, yeah.
Okay.
You have to do the attack roll again.
Okay. 18.
18, that hits.
And then the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is my... It's 8.
Plus 4.
12.
12, okay. And then roll the d10.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, a
1
plus
4
is
5. Okay. So you beat him mercilessly. He is very bloody, looking very bad.
Did you hit him in the face again?
Yeah. He's hanging on by the last thread of his life at the moment. Oh, very last thread.
Right. So this is where Henley should run in and kick him in the balls, right?
I was gonna run in. I want to just run up and, with both daggers in hand, try and like pierce his pecs and slide my way down.
Okay.
Well, he's lying on his back already with his legs in the
air.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, then I'm just going to shove them in his eyes.
Okay. The Henley.
Yeah. Yes. You're jump. I want you to see like a foot on either nipple and just be like.
Attack roll.
15
hits.
And, D4 plus 2, 3, 1, plus 2 is 6.
I'm leaving you there.
That hits. He's, and you drive those daggers into his eyes. He lets out a one more and dies.
Oh yeah. Oh,
and I just slapped Bob on his broken finger.
That's all right. Oh man.
And just imagine you're sitting there on your throne with your monocle, looking around, looking like these shit, and all of a sudden Julian goes, pop, grabs your monocle, and the next thing you know, you're on your back dead. That's how you do it, folks. You do it.
Alright, so this ogre is dead. Julian is holding the monocle in his hand. And you also see that underneath where the throne was, now that it's knocked over, is a chest.
Ooh. Ooh.
Gold. I'm still thinking gold.
All right, Hendy, you go open it.
Oh, by the way, another one of your lights went on. So now you have 4 on right now. So that equals right now you have 20 extra hit points right now.
Now, is there anything to worry about in opening this chest?
No, there's nothing to worry about. You sent.
You don't know.
I will do the.
Because that would be cheap.
The pen and paper role playing game workaround. You sense nothing is amiss with this chest.
Good, thank you. All right, let's open this sucker.
Which is code for Bobby does not want the three of you to spend 20 minutes figuring out if you open this chest or not.
So I run over to it and. Oi! It's not locked.
Throw it open.
I fling the thing open, and what do I see?
So what you see are three boxes inside the chest. One that has a picture of a dragon on it.
Yeah, that would be mine.
One that has two daggers crossed over each other.
That's mine.
And one that has a wizard's hat on it.
Hmm.
The wizard hat is lying on the floor peeing.
It's dripping yellow fluid out of the bottom.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I wonder which one I should open.
Open yours. It's clearly yours.
Pretend it's Christmas.
I open up the box with the two daggers.
So you open the box with daggers in it, and there is a blue ball sitting in the bottom of it. It has,
of course there is.
It has rusted metal. Like spinning,
holy rusted metal Batman.
Holy rusted metal Batman. Rusted metal entwining it, like almost like in a design, like in a flowery design. Underneath that is this blue glowing nature. And that's what
that's all that's there.
That's only there. Yeah.
So I pick up the ball.
Okay.
Because I do.
Yeah. Because you need to get it out of the way to see if there's any gold in there.
And it's shining.
No, sorry. There's a note in underneath the ball.
I'm picking up the ball and I see a note and what does the note say?
It says, try throwing the ball.
You draw throwing the ball.
Did you yell at the note?
No, I throw it at Thrace.
Hey!
You throw it at Thrace, and it all suddenly, you are no longer standing where you were standing. You're standing exactly where the ball landed.
Ooh! Now that is going to be
pen.
Great.
Here, take the pencil.
Julian?
I think this could be
you open yours.
Interesting. Yes. Okay. I open my wizard hat box and find
there is in your wizard hat box there is a small bag, much looks like a D&D dice bag.
Open it up, Julian. What's in there?
It's not glowing. At least I don't see that yet. What is in the bag?
Bob's literally looking in a bag. Like, yes, I am. What's in here?
It's method, okay?
So inside the bag is a handful of beans.
Oh, you got stupid beans.
I would have said the same about your balls, but I'm willing to wait and to see what these beans do.
So then another note as well, and it says, throw them all and do some damage. Throw one and see what happens. Boop. You throw one. So I need you to roll the D100.
The first time ever.
That's this fella?
It's the that plus the D10.
Yeah.
That one. And a 10.
He rolled a 15.
So you throw that on the ground, Julian. Mm-hmm. And a giant tree ant sprouts, which is a giant monster. I'm not a monster. A giant plant that is able to attack.
Did you say tree ant?
Yeah, tree ant. It's spelled T-R-E-A-N-T.
Oh, I was thinking a tree ant, and it might have a saddle.
Yes.
That would have been funny.
Like a very
like he could ride the ant around. Yeah.
Attacking plant.
Yeah.
I like that. How big?
Let's see. I'll tell you right now. It's size huge.
Huge is good.
It's like an ent. A tree ant sprouts. There is a 50% chance the tree ant is chaotic evil and attacks you.
Oh my god! That's the worst gift ever.
Bearing the lee a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you. The beans do a ton of different things. So I'll tell you what happens. I'll explain the meta game. Inside the cloth bag are three D4 dry beans. The bag weighs a half pound. If you dump the bag contents out on the ground, they explode in a 10-foot radius extending from the beans. Each creature in the area, including you, must make a DC 10 Dexterity saving throw, taking 5d4 fire damage on a failed save or half as much damage on a successful save. And I'll send you this, Bob. The fire ignites flammable objects in the area that aren't being worn or carried. If you remove a bean from the bag, plant it in dirt or sand, and then water it, the bean produces an effect 1 minute later. Well, we won't say you don't have to do it like that, but the GM can choose an effect from the following table, determine it randomly, or create an effect. So I can just say to you, like, it does this now. So, or we can roll and we can pick one of the options. It has like a ton of options here.
50-50, they're going to be good.
Well, depends. No, that's just that one.
Oh, okay.
That's that one you rolled. Like, one of them is like, it grows a giant beanstalk, and I decide where it goes. Basically.
Cool. Like it.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right.
All plant-based.
All right. We got one more.
Guys, I think I'm just going to open mine later. Is that right?
Open the box. Open the bloody box.
Fine. All right. So I open it.
So you open the box, and there is a second bracer in the box.
Ooh. What does it do?
Monkey news.
Is there a note? Do I have a note?
Yeah. The note says, put it on and punch an item.
It's an
item or enemy.
At this point, Hendley backs away.
please punch the chest. Just punch the chest.
I'm gonna put it on. I'm gonna go over and punch the what's left of that goblin.
The ogre, you mean?
Ogre thing.
Everything.
Yeah.
Just its dead body.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just see what happens.
All right. So you put on the gauntlet and you punch, and this field grows around it, and it was sort of like, you know, sort of like depressing at the moment. It was like starting to like fall down completely, and it freezes.
All right, hit it again.
You hit it, and you hear boof, and it looks like the field compresses a little bit. Hit it again.
I'm gonna rain it with blows now.
Okay, you hit it a bunch of times, and then the field dissipates. The ogre goes flying 300 feet across the room, the other end of the room.
Nice.
Not only is that thing really powerful, you added 100 feet to this room.
No, he went through the back wall and another 100 feet. Yeah. All
right.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to kick some butt with this thing.
Oh, and before we wrap this,
and
this part.
And Henley looks at his ball and goes, I'm not sure this is so cool anymore.
Julian, you should try putting on the monocle.
We did get this thing. Let's see.
Oh, good.
I put on the monocle.
So you put on the monocle, and the throne room appears as it is, but you can see over the walls this creeping smoke, and it's almost like the outside of the walls are shimmering in and out of reality, and you can see ghost forms of what look like past travelers who have come into this room, and you can almost see them replaying their deaths as they die.
Ha ha! More Dark Souls.
Ooh, like going up the stairs in Harry Potter?
Sort of, kind of. And that's the item that you needed to go forward
right,
to see.
We've got all of our items. We got one more lot to get. Let's do this shit.
Okay. There's a door?
Well, there's a door out.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot there's no stairs.
Hold on. All right, here's what I know. We all got four lights. We got all of our items.
We need a bonfire.
We really do need a bonfire, but we got no stairs. Now, for you look out there, I know you have the beans. I was about to do my thing. Bob taps me on the shoulder.
No, Julian was tapping Hendley on the shoulder.
In that case, I scold you in character. Oh, I'm gonna get the bloody beans. I'm gonna try my thing. I got this ball, right? Now, what if you all held on to me and all threw the ball all the way down off the tower and then we just poof, we're there?
Well, I think that's
also
awesome.
The name of an incredible magazine about magic.
That sounds great, Hendley.
You hate and that so much.
I do.
I very rarely say that sounds like a great idea, Hendley.
That's
but
the maybe the best idea you've had.
I'm all game for this. It was so hard getting up this damn tower. Let's just go.
Now, how far to the ground is, like, I mean, can I make this throw?
Yeah, I mean,
you're throwing it down.
I'm
throwing it down, but as far as distance is concerned.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you think about, like, the road, mm-hmm. like the giant, like, thoroughfare coming up to the tower, it butts up right against the stairs.
Okay.
And the tower, basically. So it's like, if you're leaning over the precipice, like, over the landing, it's almost like directly below you. But okay. it's just like 200 feet below you. It's
sure.
not, you know, exactly.
Okay. All right, hold on to your butts. And by that, I mean my arm.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do this.
And I take my blue ball and I chuck it. And you tell me what happens.
Okay. So you throw the blue ball. And so I did it before the way I did it to show you how it worked. This time you throw the ball and it lands on the ground. and you now decide when you want to warp.
Okay.
So it's also going to be a strategic item, so you can throw it behind something.
And you can also like maybe let it roll down a hill.
Yeah, yeah. See, it doesn't. It's not like an automatic hit.
Or in midair.
Yeah, in midair. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yes, okay. Totally. Yes.
All
exactly.
Right. So it lands on the ground, and I do my little bewitched thing, wrinkle my nose. I was thinking of the other one. I was thinking Barbara Eden.
Yeah, Genie. I dream of Genie.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And we all teleport down there.
All right, you teleport down there, and
I look at my compatriots. And I say, first try.
I bow to you, sir.
I don't, Henry. Let's get on with this.
Julian, you bow to no one.
I hate you.
Guys, can we just move on, please?
We're there.
You're on the road now.
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to head back down to...
Well, we got to get to a bonfire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
But we're also going to do it like, you know, let's do a little Wizard of Oz thing. Let's link hands and skip down this road together because we just kick that thing's butt. I get to be Dorothy.
And I just take I take out Tally-ho and have him just hang out with us as we're skipping down the road.
Yes.
You got to have
Toto.
Animal.
You have to have Toto. Yep.
And I've still got one of Ralph the Rabbit's feet. Survived the explosion. Let's do this.
So you guys skip to your loos down this road, back down around. I'm assuming you're gonna go to the bonfire near the boss door, the big one in the middle of town.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so you go back down the road. You go. You slide down the little slide.
Yep.
And then you're now. You're at the bonfire, and you're gonna light it and rest.
Yep.
Right.
Yes. Yep. Okay. We are.
So you rest at the bonfire. The two lights that were glowing are now become solid, and they still glow, but they have a more solid look to them. And all of your items are now permanent.
Awesome.
And the Ogre King's back.
Maybe.
But we don't have to.
But we're not going there again.
Yep. Yeah.
That's amazing. Look, we managed to kill him, get what we needed, and he's still alive. We haven't affected any change.
Yeah, see?
All right.
I like that.
Let's go back and kill him again.
Nope. Moving on.
All right, moving on.
All right, so where are we going from here?
We have to go to the clock tower.
Right.
The clock tower is the key because the clock tower is where we kept just dying straight away. But now, Julian, you can see where people die, right?
You can put the monocle on,
and as you walk, you can see the shadows of where people have died. Maybe there's a path through that we just couldn't see before.
Oh my God. Brilliant. Hold on.
Right?
Hold on.
Wisdom modifier through the roof right now.
Shall we try this road? In front of us?
We're going to head to the clock tower.
My God.
We're going to head to the clock tower.
Okay. You're going to walk through the fog door?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And go into the clock tower.
Yes.
So,
and Julian should lead the way with the monocle on.
Yes, he should. Yeah, Julian has the monocle on, and he's going to go first.
So all three of you walk through into the rubbled area of the city, the rubbled town circle. You see the clock tower in front of you spiraling, you know, spiraling, but going up about 150 feet. And you all see the same Henley and Thrace, you see this exact thing you said last time. Julian, you look upon the clock tower, and upon it you see a great beast that looks sort of like this.
Oh, because we can't see it yet.
We can't see it.
Oh my. Oh my.
Julian, what do you see?
Nothing to see here.
Don't worry, guys. We're all good. Everything's good.
We're just going to go back this way.
There's a snake the size of a small town entwined around the clock tower.
No, there's not.
It spirals up 100 feet up the clock tower.
No, there's not.
Yes,
it's just a clock tower.
No, he's there.
Uh-oh.
Julian, do you want to do like a history check or something to see if you know
absolutely.
What it is?
Absolutely. Which is the 20?
D20, yeah. And add your intelligence modifier.
5 plus, whatever, doesn't gonna matter much.
Oh, you have pretty high intelligence.
Yeah. 3.
3, and then do you have the bubble, history bubble?
History bubble.
Put in on your like proficiencies.
Over here. Yes, I do.
Okay, so that's another plus 3.
Plus 3.
Well, 6
plus. Actually, it says 5. But it's,
well, yeah, that's because that's a total. That's proficiency plus your bonus.
Right, so 3.
So 3 plus
11?
3, 6, 11. So with 11, you know that this creature is named Jormungandr, and that it has incredible power. It has the ability to set its targets on fire, and also the ability to swallow beings whole.
Uh-oh. I'm thinking of Drax in Guardians Galaxy 2 right now. That might work for us.
I know the reference. Bobby just made a giant snake villain for me, his best friend with a snake aversion.
Well, you can't see it or hear it. Yeah. You do also...
This is the game of imaginations if I hear it already!
You also know that this beast is one of a kind and able to speak, though it doesn't have incredibly high intelligence, but it has a very large ego. Those are the things you know.
So, can we just assume it
tells you all of that, okay. Yes.
Should we try to appeal
to its vanity?
Let's try talking to it first. Okay. Hello! Large snake man! Monster!
I can't believe that this is the worst idea that's happening right now, and it wasn't mine.
Hello!
You now hear a voice. Julian, you can see where the voice is coming from. You guys can.
I'm just shouting into the abyss.
Yes, you hear.
I am Jarlandir, eater of worlds. How dare you three come to my home?
Just the two of them, not me. I'm not in this one.
Sir, do you like rabbit?
That's not.
Your rabbit is not back yet. He's dead right now. You have to wait till you rest for him to come back.
We rested at the fire.
Oh, sure. I guess your rabbit is back.
Yes. Sir, do you like rabbit?
I hate rabbit.
Oh. All right, guys, we need another plan.
That was a good try.
Okay.
We're just simple travelers trying to get into the clock tower. Is there some impediment to our doing that?
None may pass.
Why is that, good snake, sir?
None may pass.
Oi! Is there anything that you might want from us? Anything we can do for you? I mean, you look like you're kind of, you know, wrapped up there, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, God.
And, you know, maybe we can fetch you something, or you're hungry, you're bored, you want a magazine, whatever you need. We can go fetch it for you.
There is one thing I desire.
Is it rabbit?
Hold on, it's going to be human flesh. What is that?
I do not discriminate on the kind of flesh I wish.
Oh, I wasn't very quiet. That makes sense.
I desire your deaths.
Oh.
Well, I don't know we can manage that. But
I wasn't expecting that.
I mean, technically, we can. We have done that. But I'm not sure he's going to remember if we let him kill us right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's really going to help us out.
So, technically, if we let you kill us, would just the one time be enough?
Could you kill us and then you'll let us through the next time you see us?
It is my word to not let you pass. I will stop you by any means necessary. I will kill you without you ever seeing your doom.
Well, aren't you very clever?
He starts to... Julian, you see him start to unspool himself from the clock tower.
Guys, he's coming.
Fuck you.
He stops for a moment when he hears Julian say this.
Okay.
And he says,
"You can see me, little human man?"
"Yes, I can."
"Then you die first."
Uh-oh, Julian.
Is this where we end?
You are about... So the snake, Jormundur, who's moving slowly up till now, suddenly moves almost imperceptibly fast and begins to slither across the open space, coming right at you, fangs barred. Yeah. And just about to reach the three of you when suddenly... A blinding white light flies through you all and strikes Jorundir and sends him back, sprawling onto his back. He goes flying back and he screams aloud, "I'm blind! Blinded!" And you hear a sword pull from its sheath and a flaming sword comes into view. And young Henrik steps next to you and says, "I am here for you, my friend. You saved me once, and now I'll help you."